Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money. Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, well, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open 90%. Southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back, Mike Lomas. Glenn Wiggle taking the day off, deservedly. He's just playing a little bit of hooky. He'll be back next week. And we'll be filling in, by the way, for the great Sandy Beach on Friday. If you're in the Buffalo, New York area, Rochester area, News Radio 930, WBEN 9 to noon. So make sure you check us out, and hopefully they invite us back some other time. We did it last week, and we didn't hold back anything. You know, for those of you that have been tuning in to our podcast, our radio shows, you know how asinine we think the reaction to COVID has been. I'm going to talk a little bit. Actually, we've got some videos from some frontline COVID doctors that went to Washington. And some of the videos are a little bit longer, you know, 4 minutes in length, 5 minutes in length. But to me, I think this is so important to get the truth out, right? The mainstream media is absolutely 100% corrupt. Everything I look at from them, it really sickens me when I think that 60% of restaurants aren't going to make it through this, right? We're a service-oriented economy, and we've just crushed that service-oriented economy. I'll give you an example of fake news. Arkansas tourism destination sees a 198% spike in COVID cases, according to a FEMA memo. Well, when I read that, I think, holy crap, 198% spike in COVID cases. That is crazy. That's ridiculous. But then, of course, knowing what I know, I take a step back and I say, well, let's do a little research. What is 198% spike? Well, it equated to about 145 people. Okay, were there 400 people there? That's a spike, right? I mean, you know, if one third or a quarter of people went somewhere and they walked away with the virus, you could say, okay, well, yeah, maybe that is a spike. 198%. These dirtbags should say it the right way. They traced back 145 COVID cases. But when I looked into Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is where they were talking about 1.7 million people visit there every year. So can you really trace back 145 people to 1.7 million visitors on an annual basis? I think not. And even if we could, 145 people isn't that much. Ridiculous. Coronavirus outbreak shows signs of slowing in Arizona, Texas, and Florida. Wait a minute. Shows signs of slowing? I thought all these places were the hotspots. I thought, you know, this was going to be by far, by the way, I was told that Florida would far exceed New York. Well, they have in cases, but not in deaths. So what did we do wrong? And by the way, Glenn and I have been measuring the success of this state by state, not by the amount of cases, because we're testing a lot more, but by the amount of deaths. And I continue to hear Andrew Cuomo is this savior, how great he was. And I think, boy, he's got by far the most amount of deaths. How could he be number one? Well, now the coronavirus is slowing in Arizona, Texas, and Florida. Who, by the way, said that would happen? Oh, yeah, we did. We said it's going to run its course. It's going to run its cycle. When it hits a state, it's going to boom and do this and peter itself out. By the way, the cases are less severe, less and less severe. The virus is mutating itself. We know that. We see it. We're talking to frontline COVID doctors. They're telling me, yes, when people originally came in, it was tough. Few of the cases were tough. They're not so tough anymore. Very few of those cases are tough. So I'm not sure exactly. The mainstream media, by the way, if they catch this, that the cases are going down in Arizona, Texas, and Florida, break out the protests, folks. We need to do something before November. In another case of Glenn and I told you so, the next LA, massive homeless camps appear in Manhattan. Yes. Who predicted that? Well, we did. Months ago, we said that we will turn into the next California. And sure enough, here you go, folks. The next LA, massive homeless camps appear out of nowhere. They're shocked. Guess what this is the result of, folks? This is the result of socialism. It happens every single time. It fails. The gap between the rich and the poor get bigger, and homeless camps end up. We'll have more and more poor people that won't be able to afford to live down in New York City. So thank you, Mayor de Blasio. By the way, he's now blaming the violence on the virus itself. He's saying, well, you know, yeah, we were cooped up for months, so now we have more violence. No, maybe it's because you're treating the police officers like shit, number one. Number two, maybe you defunded them by $1 billion. You actually finally found a cut somewhere, but they won't admit it. And speaking of not admitting it, in Chicago, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, she's a real gem, by the way, the Windy City witnesses 47 shootings over the weekend and two more dead. 47 shootings. And, of course, Mayor Lightfoot, who is just a real mental midget, she blames the city's historic murder rate on the lack of a federal strategy. It's not her fault. It's not her fault. It's a federal strategy that's to – you know, it's amazing to me, Mrs. Lightfoot, that your buddy Barack was in there for 8 years and we didn't hear anything about a federal strategy when it comes to Chicago. But again, you know what this is a result of? Just like the homeless camps in Manhattan, it's a result of socialism. It's a result of left-wing policies that try to take our guns, take our freedoms. What is the result? The result is more poor people, and the result is more violence. Every single time. Every single time. I just don't understand why we can't figure this out. Oh, in the case of who's the dirtbag of the week, I would say it's Andrew Cuomo. And I know, Andrew, you continue to win this award from me every single week and every single day. You just continue to get better and better. The New York Department of Health to investigate Long Island concert for social distancing. So I want you to remember that, folks, for all you Andrew Cuomo fans, it's okay to protest. It's okay to smash in windows, but it is absolutely not okay to have a concert and go see some music with your buddies. It is absolutely not okay. COVID spreads in a concert. It does not spread in a protest, right? By the way, you folks that work for the health department, the liquor authority, there was somebody from the New York State Liquor Authority that went into a restaurant down the street from us, and actually not only spot-checked the restaurant, but started pulling videos throughout the week to see if they could catch them, to see if they could catch them. I mean, this is Cuba. This is communism at its best, folks. This is nuts. These people are out of their minds. The minute these protests hit, the minute hundreds of thousands of people got together and dirtbags like Andrew Cuomo said, it's fine to do it, no problem, but you can't go out and have a beer with your buddies and watch some music. You can't even go into we're losing 60% of our restaurants, and that's probably a low number, right? It might even get worse than that. 60% of our restaurants, we're finally allowing them to open up, and you've got dirtbags from the liquor authority to the health department going in and harassing these people to make sure that they're wearing a mask from the counter to the table, and then you can take it off. I can't think, by the way, of a more asinine thing than wearing a mask from the front desk to a table that's 10 feet away and thinking that's doing anything to stop anything, right? But in good old communism fashion, and yes, it is, folks, it was left-wing liberalism, now it's socialism, and then, it was socialism, now it's full-blown communism. I'm going to tell you what to eat, I'm going to tell you where you can go, I'm going to tell you what a lockdown and where you need to be, and you're going to listen to me. Really sad. By the way, later in the show, we are going to end up with some money. I'm going to have John Thur on, our chartered financial analyst, and John is going to talk about the overall market and the direction and some of the uncertainty out there. Finally, before we get to some of the videos, by the way, I think these videos are so important. I think they're important because I want you to know the truth about COVID, right? We've said from day one, yes, it's a real virus. By the way, the COVID strain is very similar to COVID-1, by the way. Not that much different. It's about 78% the same makeup of COVID-1. So this is not new, right? But we were told we were going to lose 2 million folks in this country, right? We were told we might need millions and millions of hospital beds. And none of that has come out, right? In fact, the models, and we had Dr. Pamela Popper on last week on the radio show. She was telling us that the models are 96% off. 96. I want you to think about that, folks. In our business, if you came in and 96% of the time we were wrong, you would fire us. I would think for many of you business owners out there, If you had somebody who was 90% at a 96% fail rate, I don't care what it was, you would fire them. But yet we're still listening to these models, right? We're still listening to these left-wing Democrats who continue to fearmonger. They continue to say everybody's going to die. The children need to go to school with hazmat suits. You were 96% wrong time and time again, but yet we're still listening to these folks. We're still wearing our mask, and we're still social distancing, and we're still doing all the stuff that they want us to do. We're still on lockdown. Don't tell me that these restaurants are going to survive by takeout. They're not going to. I talk to them all the time. We've got business owners that own these places. They're not surviving. We're still not letting people into nursing homes. By the way, on Friday, we're going to have a nursing home nurse on. And she's going to talk to you about some of the, we're going to listen to her about some of the painful stories she's going through. You know, folks with Alzheimer's that haven't seen their loved ones in weeks or months, and their condition is rapidly spiraling downward, right? And it's just not Alzheimer's patients. Patient after patient who, she said, boy, I thought we would get 4, 5, 6 years out of this patient, and I don't think they're going to make it much longer. The depression is just crushing them, right? COVID in a box. That's what these leaders see. Here in Erie County, it's Mark Poland cars. COVID in a box, COVID in a box. Could care less about all these restaurant owners that are going to get hammered and lose their business. Could care less about, and I predicted this months ago, 3 months ago, I said, we will lose more people in nursing homes. I know that's hard to believe because Andrew Cuomo took COVID positive patients and stuffed them back into a home. But my prediction is over the next 2 to 3 years, we will lose more people. That death rate will ramp itself up due to anxiety and depression from not seeing their loved ones. Hopefully, by the way, I know there's a massive amount of lawsuits out there, and I'm hoping some of these actually go through. Is it going to stop anything this time? No. But hopefully it prevents somebody like a dictator, like an Andrew Cuomo, from doing this again next time. And then final lie, we talked last week about, you know, even in the state of Florida, right? I mean, the governor's got a brain in his head, but you just cannot help. When you pay people to look for positive tests, that's what they're going to come up with, right? We talked last week about 110 testing stations in Florida that decided to miss the point, meaning instead of it being 9.85%, they put 98.5%. Instead of it being 9.65%, they put 96.5%. But by the way, nobody's corrected any of this stuff. Nobody's gone back and said, oh my gosh, we're really sorry. We were off by 80-something percent. We are really sorry. We're going to fix it. They didn't. They counted motorcycle deaths, heroin overdoses. So, by the way, we lost 3,000 people to pneumonia 2 years ago in the state of Florida. 3,000 people. They're up to what? Close to 5 maybe in COVID? Again, including, and I continue to stress this, I want you to remember this, motorcycle accidents, car accident victims, heroin overdoses. Just died with 75,000 things wrong with them, but COVID was in there, so we better include that, right? In another lie this week, military healthcare insurance company TRICARE mistakenly tells 600,000 people in an alarming email they have COVID. Nothing has been right from the CDC. And by the way, Donald Trump, I know some of your folks, maybe not you, but some of your folks watch our podcast, listen to our radio show. Please get a set of stones and start to talk about the COVID lies. Every single day, I want you to do a press conference on the COVID lies. The lies on the deaths, the lies on the death rate on this thing, the lies on the fact that children are not going to get sick. We're going to listen to a doctor here shortly who's going to tell you that, by the way, there hasn't been one recorded case of a student giving a teacher in the whole world, not one recorded case of a student giving a teacher COVID. It's pretty remarkable. And we're talking about social distancing in schools and setting up, multiple classrooms and dividing it up and keeping kids home. Beyond asinine at this point. Beyond asinine. By the way, subscribe to us on YouTube. Is that what I'm doing? I don't know why I've been doing this podcast forever. Hit the bell. Like the bell. If you're watching this on YouTube and you like conservative talk, they're trying to do whatever they can to suppress us. Hit the bell. Like us. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And our website, thefinancialguys.com. We do manage money for a living. We have a lot of fun with this podcast, place where money meets politics. Same with the radio shows. We do manage money. If you think like us, use our team as a resource, whether it's Medicare Plus, one-stop financial shops down in South Florida, Rochester, New York, and our flagship office in Buffalo, whether it's Medicare planning, estate planning, retirement planning. You're going to hear from one of our chartered financial analysts later in the show. Retirement planning, Social Security planning. We have certified Social Security claiming strategist, thefinancialguys.com, if you'd like a complimentary consultation. I really want to get to some of these videos here, and I know they're a little bit, usually most of our videos are a minute, 30 seconds in length. Some of these are literally 4 minutes long, but I really, really, really think this is so important. To me, when I look at Dr. Fauci, who's, to me, totally worthless, I have no idea why he wasn't fired immediately. I want to hear from frontline COVID doctors. You're going to hear from one doctor, Sela Emanuel, hope I'm pronouncing that right, very sharp lady, frontline doctor. She's going to tell you the truth about hydroxychloroquine and a lot of the stuff that Trump was talking about, right? We're going to talk about kids going back to school, why this is okay, right? Donald Trump, you need to get in front of this stuff, the COVID lie. Start talking about it, right? That's why we elected you. We elected you because you tell us the truth. I love that about you. I love the fact that you go on Twitter. I want to know about the bullshit from the mainstream media. Somebody needs to call them out on a national level, and it's got to be you. Let's start out.
I'll turn it over.
Let's start. By the way, let me once again, these are frontline COVID doctors that got together in Washington, and they're all saying enough is enough. One of the doctors is Dr. Dan Erickson, which we had on our radio show. Awesome. We didn't have him on our podcast, did we? No, just a radio show. But these are frontline COVID doctors, and I would encourage you, by the way, we're going to post this video to our Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page. Watch the whole thing. It's 45 minutes long. It is absolutely well worth it, and please do whatever you can to pass it along. I'm going to stress this one more time. Frontline COVID doctors, okay? And by the way, here's my favorite. Every time we have a doctor on the radio show, every time we have a doctor on the podcast, somebody from the left goes into their credentials and starts to rip them apart. And it's amazing to me that nobody ever does that. If you say the world's going to die, everybody's going to die of COVID, and it's a doctor, somehow your credentials are just fine. But a frontline COVID doctor comes out and says, yeah, no, they're not all going to die. And actually, the death rate's probably less than the flu. And certainly, it's way, way, way less than the flu in children. Oh, my gosh, he doesn't have a PhD XYZ 1740 in this. She doesn't have this. It's amazing to me how credentials only matter if it doesn't, if they're saying, you know, everybody's not going to die from it, right? If it's not that death message. Let's go to the video. It's so important to me. We're listening to frontline COVID doctors here. First one, I think this is Mr. Bob
Thank
Hamilton.
Thank you so much, Congressman. So we're here because we feel as though the American people have not heard from all the expertise that's out there all across our country. We do have some experts speaking, but there's lots and lots of experts across the country. So some of us decided to get together. We're America's frontline doctors. We're here only to help American patients and the American nation heal. We have a lot of information to share. Americans are riveted and captured by fear at the moment. We are not held down by the virus as much as we're being held down by the spider web of fear. That spider web is all around us, and it's constricting us, and it's draining the lifeblood of the American people, American society, and American economy. This does not make sense. COVID-19 is a virus that exists in essentially two phases. There's the early phase disease and there's the late phase disease. In the early phase, either before you get the virus or early when you've gotten the virus, if you've gotten the virus, there's treatment. That's what we're here to tell you. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. You can find it on America's Frontline Doctors. There's many other sites that are streaming it live on Facebook. But we implore you to hear this because this message has been silenced. There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus carefully and intelligently, but we cannot live with this spider web of fear that's constricting our
And we're going to get to Bob Hamilton in a second, but she's absolutely right. We are not held down by the virus. The virus isn't holding us down. Never. These numbers happened 2-3 years ago when Barack Obama was in office. We had the swine flu. That was pretty deadly. Didn't shut down the whole economy. Didn't crush the restaurant industry or the service industry. How many hotels are going to go out of business? How many restaurants are going to go out of business? How many casinos are going to go out of business, right? We're held down by fear. Mainstream media fear. Why? Because they're not sharing with you the right numbers, right? I started this old podcast out with 198% spike. Bullshit. That's not 190. Yeah, it's 198% spike, right? Guess what? Glenn and I could have done that. We bought shares of Enron. We didn't own shares of Enron before our clients, but we bought a share after the fact, right? Just so we would have a share to tell people you shouldn't have all your eggs in one basket. Well, guess what? Glenn bought the share online for like $7 just to have a share so we could frame it again, right? But when the company went bankrupt, the shares were actually selling online because more financial planners, people wanted the shares, the physical shares, to be able to hang in their office to do what we were doing. Say, hey, look, not a good idea to have all your eggs in one basket. Well, we could have sold those shares for $14. We could have sold it for $25, $50 at one point. How unethical would it have been if we said, hey, we made 1,000% on an Enron share, right? Because it would have been unethical. Well, the way the media is treating this, it's the same thing. Let's go. I think this should be Dr. Bob Hamilton, and he's going to talk about sending the kids back to school. So important. Let me make sure I get to the right spot in the video. I got to pre-bundle these up, so. All right.
And thank you all for being here today. I'm Dr. Bob Hamilton. I'm a pediatrician from Santa Monica, California. I've been in private practice there for 36 years. And today I have good news for you. The good news is that children, as a general rule, are taking this virus very, very well. Few are getting infected. Those who are getting infected are being hospitalized in low numbers. And fortunately, the mortality rate of children is about 1/5 of 1%. So kids are tolerating the infection very frequently. They're actually asymptomatic. I also want to say that children are not the drivers of this pandemic. People were worried about initially if children were going to actually be the ones to push.
I want you to think about that, folks, because we've been told that the reason our children cannot go back to school, the reason we have to lock our children in the basement and not allow them to play with other kids is because they're going to kill my grandma and grandpa. This is a frontline COVID doctor, by the way. These are all frontline folks that have been in the middle of this attack.
The infection along, the very opposite is happening. Kids are tolerating it very well. They're not passing it on to their parents. They're not passing it on to their teachers. Dr. Mark Woolhouse from Scotland, who is a pediatric infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist, said the following. He said there has not been one documented case of COVID being transferred from a student to a teacher.
What? How could that be? How could that be? We were told that these kids were going to kill grandma and grandpa. How could that be? Not one. Hey, guess what, folks? In the world, that's a big number. We're not talking about 100 folks. We're not talking about 200. We're talking about billions of people.
In the world, I think that is important that all of us who are here today realize that our kids are not really the ones who are driving the infection. It is being driven by older individuals.
By the way, we'll try to burn this before they take it down, right? We'll try to make sure we have a copy of this because they will take this down. Anything that doesn't fit the left-wing narrative of I'm going to scare the shit out of you and this is going to last until November, they immediately dismantle.
Yes, we can send the kids back to school, I think, without fear. And this is the big issue right now, as Congressman Norman alluded to. This is the really important thing we need to do. We need to normalize the lives of our children. How do we do that? We do that by getting them back in the classroom.
Absolutely. Spot on, by the way. They should have never been taken out of the classroom. Never, ever, 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 ever. Knowing that this has a lower mortality rate with children than the normal flu, and we've completely crushed some of these kids' hopes and dreams. I mean, some of these kids trying to get out of the inner city on a football scholarship or a whatever scholarship, right? Even an academic scholarship. We're crushing their hopes and dreams right now. Absolutely. So you'd say, well, why in the world, if the schools have this info, why in the world would they continue to shut down, right? Teachers want to teach, and I know a lot of good teachers. I'm related to a lot of good teachers, and I know they want to go back to the classroom. Well, why is it? Why don't they? Well, let's fast forward a little bit here, because Dr. Bob Hamilton nails why they're not going back to the classrooms, right? Give me one second. Yeah, right. I think that's close enough.
Going to be the national unions, the teachers union, the national education.
Actually, let me back that up because I want to make sure I get this full clip here.
School is not going to be the science. It's going to be the national unions, the teachers union, the National Education Association.
So Bob is saying it's not going to be the science, by the way, that doesn't send these kids back to school. It will be the unions. Let's talk about, really, Bob, why? Now, frontline COVID doctor. Bob, tell me more.
And other groups who are going to demand money.
Oh.
And listen, I think that it's fine to give people money for PPE and different things in the classroom, but some of their demands are really ridiculous. They're talking about where I'm from in California, the UTLA, which is the United Teachers of Los Angeles, is demanding that we defund the police.
Oh, defund the police. Okay, so we can't send the children back to school because of the coronavirus, and what we want you to do is defund the police. Okay, that makes sense to me, especially in places like LA.
What does that have to do with education?
Nothing.
They're demanding that they stop or they shut all private charter schools, privately funded charter schools.
Ah, okay, once again, right? You would shut the charter schools down because they cause the coronavirus and the public schools don't, right? I think the charter schools have a better track record. So for those of you who are, quote, Black Lives Matter or the inner city, it's unfair, right? So we've got charter schools that we've established that have a very successful track record of getting kids out of the inner city. Way more, a way higher probability and a way higher, better education than the public schools in the inner cities. But yet, because of COVID, we want to dismantle those success stories. Makes sense to me. Yeah.
These are the schools that are actually getting the kids educated. Hmm. So clearly, there are going to be barriers. The barriers will not be science. There will not be barriers for the sake of the children. It's going to be for the sake of the adults, the teachers and everybody else, and for the union. So
yeah, because they care about the children, right? Because they give a crap about the children. That's what we're going to hear. This is all about the children. So dismantling the charter schools and defunding the police are the reasons and barriers for us to be able to send these teachers back to school. That makes a ton of sense to me. Let's talk about the cure. Let's go to Dr. Sela Emanuel. And let me see if I can move this up to 531. And she gets hot. I love her.
Hello. I'm Dr. Sela Emanuel. I'm a primary care physician in Houston, Texas. You know, I actually went to medical school in West Africa, Nigeria, where I took care of malaria patients, treated them with hydroxychloroquine and stuff like that. So
now, prior to this little speech she gives out in front of she in Washington somewhere, she would have been a hero, right? Frontline hero, a success story, all that. She will be probably taken down from YouTube after her little speech here.
I actually used to these medications. I'm here because I have personally treated over 350 patients with COVID.
So unlike Dr. Fauci, she's actually treated people. Okay.
Patients that have diabetes, patients that have high blood pressure, patients that have asthma, old people. I think my oldest patient is 92, 87 year olds. And the result has been the same. I put them on hydroxychloroquine, I put them on zinc, I put them on Zitromax, and they are all well. For the past few months, I've taken care of over 350 patients. We've not lost one. Not a diabetic, not a somebody with high blood pressure, not somebody with asthma, not an old person. We've not lost one patient.
Wow. And on top... Wow, God, who said that would work? Who said? Oh, yeah, Donald Trump did. Remember? And they called him nasty and dumb, and he's not a doctor. Yeah.
That I put myself, my staff, and many doctors that I know on hydroxychloroquine for prevention, because by the very mechanism of action, it works early and as a prophylaxis. We see patients, 10 to 15 COVID patients every day. We give them breathing treatments. We only wear surgical masks. None of us has gotten sick. It works. So right now, I came here to Washington, D.C. to say, America, nobody needs to die. The study that made me start using hydroxychloroquine was a study that they did under the NIH in 2005 that say it works. Recently, I was doing some research about a patient that had hiccups, and I found that they even did a recent study in the NIH, which is our national institute, that is the national NIH, National Institute of Health. They actually had a study, and go look it up. Type hiccups and COVID, you will see it. They treated a patient that had hiccups with hydroxychloroquine, and it proved that COVID is a symptom of hiccups It's a symptom of COVID. So if the NIH knows that treating the patient with hydroxychloroquine proves that hiccup is a symptom of COVID, then they definitely know that hydroxychloroquine works. I'm upset. Why I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in. I see diabetics sit in my office knowing that this is a death sentence and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them, it's going to be okay, you're going to leave. And we treat them and they leave. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes and say, oh, we've done studies and they found out that it doesn't work, I can tell you categorically it's fake science. I want to know who is sponsoring that study. I want to know who is behind it. Because there is no way I can treat 350 patients and counting and nobody is dead and they all did better. And then you're going to tell me that you treated 20 people, 40 people and it didn't work. I'm a true testimony. So I came here to Washington, D.C., to tell America, nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. It is called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know you people want to talk about mask. Hello? You don't need mask. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention, and there is a cure. And let me tell you something. All you fake doctors out there that tell me, oh, yeah, I want a double-blinded studies. I just tell you, quit sounding like a computer, double-blinded, double-blinded. I don't know whether your chips are malfunctioning, but I'm a real doctor. I have radiologists, we have plastic surgeons, we have neurosurgeons like Sanjay Gupta saying, oh, yeah, it doesn't work and it causes heart disease. Let me ask you, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, hear me. Have you ever seen a COVID patient? Have you ever treated anybody with hydroxychloroquine and they died from heart disease? When you do, come and talk to me.
I love her. I absolutely love her. We have to do whatever we can to try to get her on this show or on the radio, right? But absolutely right, right? We have a cure for it. We know the death rate is down to 0.000 whatever, right? But yet we're still on lockdown. Let's talk about lockdown. There's a final one. I want to Dr. Erickson. Dr. Erickson's a friend of our radio show. He was on YouTube early on saying, look, these lockdowns aren't working. The way we're handling this isn't working. He was criticized, taken off of YouTube. He was on Fox News, and, of course, he was on the radio show with Glenn and myself. And he's, a warrior here in frontline in Washington, talking specifically about the lockdowns, right? Now, I've been saying for a long time that the lockdowns, to me, clearly didn't work. I mean, anybody with a brain in their head, Andrew Cuomo, he doesn't have one, right? Because his own study said that 7 out of 10 people that got a severe case of COVID in New York City were locked down in their house. They didn't go anywhere. And the occasional time they went to the store, they wore a mask and washed their hands and did everything that Mr. Andrew said. And he goes, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. The lockdowns aren't working. But as Glenn and I have been saying, COVID in a box, COVID in a vacuum, there's unintended consequences to all this. And the cure will be much, much worse than the virus. So let's listen to Dr. Dan Erickson talk about the lockdowns themselves.
Dr. Dan Erickson, Dr. Gold asked me to talk about the lockdowns, how effective they were, and do they cause anything non-financial? They always talk about the financial, but you have to realize that lockdowns, we haven't taken a $21 trillion economy and locked it down. So when you lock it down, it causes public health issues. Our suicide hotlines are up 600%. Our spousal abuse, different areas of alcoholism are all on the rise. These are public health problems from a financial lockdown. So we have to be clear on that fact that there is, it's not like you just lock it down and have consequences to people's jobs. They also have consequences, health consequences at home. So we're talking about having a little more of a measured approach, a consistent approach. If we have another spike, you know, coming in cold and flu season, let's do something that's sustainable. What's sustainable? Well, we can socially distance and wear some masks, but we can also open the schools and open businesses. So this measured approach I'm talking about isn't made up. It's going on in Sweden, and their deaths are about 564 per million. UK full lockdown, 600 deaths per million. So we're seeing that.
So why in the world can you left, you folks on the left, not get this? Why can't you understand that? Andrew Cuomo's study said it didn't work. Sweden has proven it didn't work. It doesn't work. And you continue to scare people and lock them down, and we're going to lose more people through anxiety and depression and suicides than we will the flu, even with your fake numbers.
Lockdowns aren't decreasing significantly the amount of deaths per million. Some of their Nordic neighbors have less deaths for a variety of reasons I don't have time to go into today. So what my quick message here in a minute or two is just that we need to take an approach that's sustainable. A sustainable approach is slowing things down, opening up schools, opening up businesses, and then we can allow the people to have their independence and their personal responsibility to choose to wear masks.
Personal responsibility. Dr. Erickson, that's a thing of the past, my friend. We're not smart enough. We're not responsible enough to be able to do that. We need to be on lockdown. We need to be able to be told what we can eat, what constitutes a meal, and what doesn't constitute a meal. That's the world we're in today. And the sheep are listening. They're following. Even some of my conservative friends are doing their part to agree and support Andrew Cuomo the best they can, and they're losing their freedoms every step, every second of the day. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. We're going to end with some financial planning. Chartered financial analyst John Thurr. We're going to talk about the stock market, the volatility, and how to position your portfolio going forward, all right? Mike Lomas, Garnwiggle, we'll be back. Welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle will be back next week, taking a well-deserved day off. John Thurr, chartered financial analyst in studio with me, and we're going to talk a little bit about the markets. By the way, that video is already being taken down from YouTube, so we're doing our best to burn it and make sure we'll have it on our Facebook page. So like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, by the way, and our website, thefinancialguys.com. I'm John Thurr, chartered financial analyst, and we always say John's the smartest guy in the room, so that's why we bring him in, one of the heads of our investment committee and team. John, you know, the stock market has rebounded from its bottoms, and the economy is still screwed. I've got so many folks that will call and say, I don't get it. Like, the economy's so messed, but yet the market's back. And one of the things I'll say is, well, you got to be careful. The stock market is a leading indicator, but yet there's still a lot of uncertainty out there. And you've been saying this for a while. It doesn't mean you make panic decisions. You don't sell your stuff. You just got to be really smart and patient and diversified, right?
Exactly. What you're seeing is this, it's an acronym, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Okay.
I don't think that's a good reason to invest. But yeah. We had a great quick snapback because everybody was afraid of missing out because they thought the recovery was going to be extremely quick.
Yeah. We heard the V-shaped recovery.
Right. We almost weren't going to have a recession because of all that the fiscal policy with regard to giving people money and, placating the unemployment.
Isn't that fun, by the way? Now, our conservative Republicans are debating with the Democrats as to whether we give an additional $600 of unemployment or $200 or $400, yeah. Right? I just can't believe this United States of America. We're paying people to stay home, but not only paying them to stay home, we're paying them more money to stay at home. And the fight is not, hey, let's at least get them back to where they were or maybe a little bit less to try to push them out to the workforce. No, you just keep paying them to stay at home. It's unreal.
I'm not sure. It would have been nice to see this happen not in an election year.
Yeah.
To see how they would have treated it.
What a bunch of crap,
that
though.
That makes it special.
I'll tell you, Republicans, don't ask me for money. I'm so disgusted with you. So disgusted with you. You run on this conservative platform, and yet you're not conservative at all.
Right.
Not conservative at all. You piss away money just like the Democrats.
They roll over.
Yeah.
They
roll over. That's exactly what they do.
Right.
It's amazing to me. The Democrats never compromise on anything. Never.
No.
Never. If they want it blue, you're going to get blue. The Republicans go, let's talk about it. No, stop. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. Stop. They're not negotiating with you ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I think what's happening here is you don't have any alternatives. People want to be invested. A lot of money came pouring into mutual funds and whatnot. These guys have to invest.
Mm-hmm.
Fixed income is awful. Yields are under 2% for short bonds, and I don't think you want to go long with a curve so flat and so low in yields. So what do you do? And money's pouring into equities because there is money to be invested.
Mm-hmm.
Pension money coming in early in the year. You've got 401k money coming in every month. People are still contributing that are working. So money's got to go someplace. It's going into U.S. stocks. They feel more comfortable being there than anywhere else. So things are getting very overpriced.
One of the themes you were talking about, and you've always said this, like, look, don't time markets, but make subtle adjustments along the way.
And you've been talking about this being sort of a buyer's market. And what I mean by that is not necessarily cheap prices, but it's not the kind of market where you can just say, okay, I'm going to buy this index and it's going to go across 500 stocks, right? You really need to start to cherry pick some of the winners. And that's where money management can actually, you know, maybe, you know, outperform here.
Right. What's happening is there's a lot of momentum in certain sectors and certain names. And tech is the biggest one.
Yeah.
You know, Paul's right. When you add tech to communication, which is a lot of tech, you're almost 40% waiting.
It's hard not to, though, when you look at everybody being forced to work from home and all this stuff, right? Like, how could technology not win?
But, but the problem becomes is you've got these companies priced out to 2022's expectations.
Gotcha.
So how much further do you – if you buy it today – think about the time between now and 2022 and what might happen. Mm. There's a lot that can happen to be disruptive there.
Right.
I love all these tech stocks and what they're doing, but you're taking a risk in that between now and 2022, these things can be cheaper. Yeah. So you have to be patient, and as much as you like them, you can't chase them. You have to wait for those moments, which with everything going on right now, with China, with the election, with you've got states pulling back on opening. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the third quarter GDP is going to be where they think it's going to be. Yeah. There's a lot of potential for disappointment. And plus, you're starting to see inflation.
Yeah, which we haven't seen in a long, long, long time, right?
I think it's short term because it's a function of supply and demand.
Yeah.
With so many people getting so much money from the government and sitting home doing nothing.
Sure.
They're all out buying cars, buying RVs because they're afraid to do a vacation without being self-contained.
And the labor market is so ridiculously tight right now. What makes me sick to my stomach is we're paying people additional money to stay at home, yet I talk to my business owner clients, and they can't find people to work. Right?
I mean,
to go get a plumber. Try to go get an electrician, right? They don't show up. It's amazing because they have so much work. I was talking to a guy who does garage floors, you know, epoxies and garage floors. I said, how's business? He goes, Mike, I have 100-something requests for me to just go out and get pricing. The problem is I can't hire anybody to do these floors.
Yep.
I just can't get labor. I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, we're at 11% unemployment rates. And I said, got to get certified? He goes, I can teach you how to do it. He goes, I got all the right equipment, but I just can't hire anybody. I mean, what do you mean? You can't, because I just can't find anybody to work. So we're at 11% unemployment rate. We're paying people to stay at home. This guy's got 100 jobs. What's going to cause it? Well, it's going to cause inflation. He's going to say, you know what? I can't do all our jobs. Yeah.
And he's going to throw out bids that are high.
Yeah.
And if he's got 100 bids and all he can do is 5 jobs, he'll throw them all high, and he knows 5 people will call him.
Yeah. So that's 5 people just say this is a priority. I'm going
to
do it. Yeah.
Right. So we're going to get this temporary inflation. So it's going to be interesting to see how we deal with that. We haven't had to deal with that in a while. So, you know, you look at the auto sector. Yeah, I happened to be involved in buying something recently, and it was no supply, used or new.
Yeah.
And now I look at Kelley Blue Book, and I watch everything, houses, autos, the stock market, and you're watching the value of these vehicles I'm watching are going up by the week on Kelley Blue Book, used cars. Just going up by the week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
No inventory.
No.
They literally told General Motors and Ford and all this, you're not going to work for months, right? And it is amazing when you see the amount of vehicles that they produce, but yet a short-term blip of just a month or two of not building cars, it's amazing what it does.
And what I'm telling you is when all the buying came in mid-March to May, it just put all that aside. It didn't think about any of this. It just said, oh, with all the low interest rates forever and all the Fed's buying bonds and we have to go to stocks and the government's got our back and we're going to have another stimulus package.
Yeah.
So just buy.
Yeah.
You know, none of this came into thought. So I think when some of this stuff in the fall, when you've got the election and all the rhetoric and all the things going on there and people starting to think about, you know, the outcomes, and then you've got China and you've got Europe and you've got a lot of things going on and the market's priced for perfection, that's when I think we'll get somewhat of a pullback.
Yeah.
There'll be more opportunities to buy things.
You've been concerned about Europe, the debt, right? They can't print money like we can in the U.S., so that's a fear, right?
Well, did you see how they struggled with their next package?
Yes.
And it was only, I think, and I hate to say only, $700 to $800 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, talking trillions.
We're talking trillions here.
Okay? and it was
jump change. Yeah.
It was a struggle for them to get that approved.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, down the road, I think it's going to get harder and harder to get approvals.
At some point, the world needs to go back to work, right? We need to forget about this flu. Let's talk about a positive, by the way, and maybe we can end on this. You know, the COVID
numbers. And I think what I'm most furious about is the corruption in the mainstream media and just not telling people the truth, right?
Right.
Every headline is, this is a spike. This is a, the biggest BS is Florida, right? I mean, we have an office down there. I talk to them and say, oh my gosh, it's a hot spot. Wait a minute. We lost 5,000 people there, but we do know for a fact that motorcycle accidents, car accident victims, heroin overdoses, people that died with cancer throughout their body, as long as they had COVID, were in that. And I think, well, wait a minute, what constitutes a hotspot? To me, it should be deaths, not the number of people that got it, right? Yeah. If a lot of people have dandruff, but nobody's dying from it, okay, then figure it out, right? But the numbers are getting better and the treatments are getting better. I just played some videos before of some doctors. One of them, a frontline COVID doctor, she said, I had 350 people that I've, every one of them. Every single one of them I fixed. Every single one of them, right?
And I think that's more important. The market's been focused on the vaccine, and there's all this hype about a vaccine.
Yeah.
I just
By the time
have...
the vaccine comes on, COVID will be nothing.
I know.
It'll be mutated itself out.
I think what's more important is to see the treatments get better.
Yes.
And they are getting better.
Right.
So I think they're focusing on the wrong thing with the vaccine because I don't think it's going to be as effective.
Yeah.
But I do think the treatments are getting better, and I think we're going to see some breakthroughs in better treatments. And you're right. I think that hopefully that'll tamp it down, unless they want to keep this thing alive in the media.
Well, sure they do. They'll do whatever they can, right? So let's go back to the protest or something else. Just a few minutes left. I know you've got an appointment. I appreciate you spending some time with me. John Third, Chartered Financial Analyst. I'm now getting the calls. I want to put my money in gold. I want to put my money in gold. I'm scared. I want to put my money in gold.
Yeah. It's
to me, that's sort of bullish with the market, though.
I think it is. But I also think that people are seeing the opportunity in precious metals because – like I said, you're very narrowly focused here on U.S. equities. So I think that's scaring a little people and a little bit because there are no options.
Yeah.
So I think gold now becomes an option, and it's more of the fear trade than it is inflation.
Would you agree with me? I think that's a trade, right? That's not something you say, I'm going to buy and hold, right? To me, I'm always looking at good, solid companies that have earnings, and you're doing the same. And even when we're let's say, negative on your outlook, you're still positive and thinking I'm negative because I think the market might pull back here, but I like good companies out there that I want to buy at a cheaper price.
Exactly. I bought some things yesterday. Yeah. I bought some things this morning before we came on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that I'm not buying or I don't like it. I just don't feel like, I don't feel like I want to follow the crowd and buy the whole index and I want to pick and choose what I want to own at this point. Because if there is a rollover, you know, Mike, at some point, and I'm not saying it's imminent in the next 3 months, at some point in the next few years, you're going to get a rollover and we're going down, but we're not going to snap back real fast.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what you have to prepare for a little bit is what is that worst case?
Right.
And because, you know, we've got clients who we manage money for that they're retired and this is all they've saved their whole life for. They can't make it back.
Right.
So we've got to be conscious of that and we want to participate, but we also have to be conscious of the risk we take to do that.
Diversification's the key, folks, and just, you know, being patient with it, right? Understanding that diversification can allow you to, whether it's having some cash or some short-term bonds on the sidelines to take advantage of stuff.
And on the gold thing, if I might.
Yeah, I didn't let you answer that. I started to go in a different direction.
No, I don't have a problem owning, you know, 5% of your portfolio being invested in some type of precious metals.
Yeah.
And if you want, I look at gold and I'll buy the miners, you know, as opposed to, because they have balance sheets I can look at.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to get that powerful impact that gold itself, but because they have gold mines, they will rise when the price of gold rises and they will fall. But in the end, you have the ultimate business, you know, of gold behind you.
Yeah, with a track record of some of that stuff actually going up long term, it seems to me that when you buy the gold, it just goes up and goes back down as soon as the trade's over.
Exactly,
right?
It's a trade. Because big money plays there.
Right. I know you got an appointment, so I'm going to let you go. Appreciate it, Mr. Third. John Third, Chartered Financial Analyst, part of our investment committee and team, one of the leaders on that side of the Financial Guys team. And if you need us, make sure you like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit the bell. We need more conservative talk. And if you need us, our website, thefinancialguys.com, use us as a resource, the place where money meets politics. We'll see you next week.